If you have your Bible this morning and want to read the scriptures that we're going to be sharing, we're going to ask you to turn over to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4, and I want to begin reading with the first verse. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. Nehemiah says in that first verse of the fourth chapter, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. And he took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. And Sanballat, he spake before his brethren and before the army of Samaria, and he said," verse 2, "and he said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" And how many of you know the enemy always has a buddy nearby? "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him," by Sanballat. "And Tobiah said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." And Nehemiah starts to pray and he says, "Hear, O God, hear what they're saying. Hear what they have spoken against us and to us. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let their sin not be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee, they have provoked you, O God, they have provoked you to anger before the builders." Nehemiah concludes in verse 6 and says, "So built we the wall." In other words, the work on the wall continued. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning and just ask that you bow your heads and we will pray and ask the Lord for his help and his anointing in ministering the word. Father, I am grateful. I am grateful for the opportunity to come together with these, your precious people, and to minister what you have placed in my spirit for this service. And I ask, O God, that you would use me and anoint me to be a vessel that you could use and operate through to touch our hearts and our lives. Nothing will be accomplished, O Lord, without your anointing. So I ask for your anointing. I ask for you to put your words in my mind and in my heart and in my mouth and enable me to preach your word. Help me to convey what you have placed in my spirit. Let everything that is said and everything that is done be done to glorify Christ and to edify the body of Christ. Bless me now to be a blessing. Help me now to be a blessing. Anoint me now to be a blessing. And I pray these things in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. I want to title my message this morning, Revive the Stones. Revive the Stones. The stones that we are talking about this morning in our message are stones that had lain in ruin for over 70 years. The stones that we are speaking about this morning had been so badly burnt with fire that they would crumble under pressure. The stones that we are speaking about this morning at one time were used to build the walls of Jerusalem. They at one time surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and they were made of limestone. So when the fire had scorched them, they literally softened and they would crumble underneath any weight, because they had been burnt with fire, and because of that they would lose their durability and their strength. Tobiah, the Ammonite, in verse number 3, Tobiah says, as he stands there listening to Sanballat, Tobiah says, "Even that which they build, if a fox should go up onto it, it shall even break down their wall." Meaning that just the light weight of a little fox, about 15 to 20 pounds, if a little fox gets up on their wall, the rock will not be able to hold it. It'll just crumble under the weight of the rock, mocking them. These stones had once guarded the city of Jerusalem, and they had been a place of refuge and a place of a fortress, but now they are deteriorated and they are decayed and they are in need. Let me begin this morning by just giving you some historical overview or historical context that leads up to our text. If you are a biblical historian, the Word of God teaches us that because of the hardness of their heart and because of the disobedience of their hearts, that God allowed the children of Israel to go into captivity. It did not happen all at once. First, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, with Samaria as the capital. Amen. The northern kingdom of Israel with the 10 tribes, they went into Assyrian captivity. And then later, the southern tribe of Judah, or the southern kingdom of Judah, which consisted of Benjamin and Judah. Later, the tribe of Benjamin with Judah, they would go into captivity of the Babylonian Empire. The 10 tribes were in captivity for about 200 years. And then the southern kingdom was in Babylonian captivity, amen, about 70 years. Literally what happened was God allowed the Assyrians, to take away the northern kingdom. And then the Assyrian Empire was in power and in control in the world at that time. And the Assyrian Empire fell to the Babylonian Empire. And then the Babylonian Empire literally took out the southern kingdom of Judah. And for 70 years, God told them that they would be in captivity, that they would serve another. He told them, it's because of your disobedience, and because you have placed other gods before me, and because you have not hearkened to my word, therefore will I allow your enemies to have power over you. Amen. But by the grace of God and by the blessing of God, God also told the people that he would let them serve the Assyrians or the Babylonians, amen, for 70 years, and then he would bring them back into their homeland. And that is exactly what happened. They had returned, amen, in the fullness of time. They had returned to the city of Jerusalem. They had been sent by Cyrus the king to go and rebuild Jerusalem and re-inhabit their homeland. And upon their return, they found the beloved city of Jerusalem in ruin. When the Babylonians had carried them away 70 years earlier into captivity, they had destroyed the city with fire. They had burnt down the walls that had once been a fortress. And so in my mind, I don't know if you could see it, I tried to find a Google image to just give you a mental picture of what I'm talking about. But the wall that had once been a fortress and a place of security had now fallen into a state of ruin. It had now crumbled and fallen. Amen. And when the people come back to the city, they find their beloved city, amen, in a heap or in a rubble. Jerusalem was a mess. The city had fallen into a state of ruin and the walls were broken down. If it was ever going to be a beautiful city again, it would have to be rebuilt. If the walls were ever to be a place of security again, then they would have to be restored and they would have to be revived from the rubble. They would have to be restored and, amen, and find restoration and reviving. And I came to tell you this morning that I will just get right to the heart of my message. And my message today is all about revival. It's about reviving and it's about restoration. And whether we want to embrace it or not, and whether we will admit it or not, there are times, amen, and there are going to be times in our life that we need to be spiritually revived. Amen. There are going to come some times in our life when our heart begins to get cold. Amen. And our spirit begins to walk a distance from God. Amen. And we're going to have to find a place of restoration and reviving and renewing in our heart and in our life. I believe with all of my heart that there are times that God needs to rattle our cage and shake us up and wake us up and cause us to realize that our heart needs to be renewed and that our spirit needs to be revived and that our walk with God needs to be restored and that our passion that we once had for the things of God needs to be revived and renewed and rekindled and reignited. And I came to tell you this morning that God desires to do exactly that in our life. I believe with all of my heart. Somebody said, well, we need a different person in the White House. We need this law passed. We need that law passed. We need this law passed. We need to do this and we need to do that. And we need to allow this and we need to allow that. You know what we really need in America? We need a revival. We need a Holy Ghost outpouring that will cause us to get back to God, get back to the Word, get back to the Bible, get back to holy living, and get back to serving the Lord. That'll change a whole lot of things in our culture. I believe that the world needs and America needs and we need on an individual level and on a corporate level, we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God and a move of the Holy Ghost. And my prayer today is, God, let it start in me. Let it begin in me. Let me just share with you some things this morning. If we are not watchful, if we are not careful, we will allow other things to become more important than God. Hello? It happens very subtly. I mean, you know, it can happen very easily. We get distracted with life, and pretty soon we have become so distracted that our relationship with God has become a distant memory. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. It's true, and it can happen to any and all of us. I want you to understand this morning that there are times that we need our spirit revived to bring us back to our first love and bring us back to understanding the importance of having God and having His Word and having the church in our life and having a fellowship with God's people. Oh, God, give us a move of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to return to our first love. Return to our Christ, because captivity comes when there is a lack of communion. Let me say that again. Captivity comes when there is a lack of communion. In other words, if you begin to put distance in your communion and your relationship with God, pretty soon you find you have just been led completely astray. Hello? Captivity comes when there is a lack of communion. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They fell into captivity because of a lack of communion and a lack of obedience to God. And beloved, let me just tell you, the enemy would like nothing more than to lead all of us astray and cause us, amen, to forget about and to neglect our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 10 that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. In other words, his greatest motive in life is to bring us and draw us away from our relationship with God. He comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. What's he after? He's after your health. He's after your marriage. He's after your children. He's after your spirit. He's after your home life. Hey, let me tell you, if you'll allow him to, he will rape, rob, and kill, and steal, and destroy. But you don't have to let him do it. You can build up a wall against him. Jesus said, but I am come, in that John, in that 10th verse of John, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there are only two ways for us to choose this morning. We can either choose God and the right, or we can choose the enemy and destruction. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, they both end a very certain way. One gives life everlasting, and one brings eternal damnation. I don't know about you, but I want God to revive my heart so that I walk right, live right, talk right, and act right, that Jesus might be seen in me. Hallelujah. I want you to look this morning at the condition of these folks that have come back from captivity. They have come back from 70 years of being a slave. They come back to the city of Jerusalem, and they are a broken and, I mean, they are a broken and discouraged people. They were ripped out of their homeland. They were forced to serve a foreign land. They were slaves. They were held captive. They were stripped of their dignity, stripped of their strength and their power. Their material resources had been completely taken from them. They were left with nothing. They were impoverished and they were poor. Many of the men had been castrated when they took them out of the land of Israel. Many of the men were castrated and they were called eunuchs. They were literally castrated, and their wives and their children were pulled away from them right before their very eyes. They were a broken, humiliated people. They were a broken people, a discouraged people, serving in Babylonian bondage. But now they are free. They have been released. The 70 years that God said that they would be in captivity has now elapsed. and they are free and they are back in their homeland. And now they face the monumental task of rebuilding the wall. A wall that the enemy had torn down. A wall that the enemy had destroyed. A wall that had served as a fortress and a refuge. Amen. And while they were busy building the wall, listen to this. While they were busy building the wall, their enemy stopped by to just mock their efforts. Now, how many of you have ever been trying to do something and somebody's standing around just making fun of what you're doing? Hello? Well, listen, how many of you know it's one thing to rebuild your life in private, but it's another thing to try to rebuild your life and put things back in order when everybody else is watching? Hello? You know what I'm talking about? Well, here are their enemies watching them endeavor to rebuild the wall. Watching them endeavor to rebuild the fortress of the city. And all the enemy can do is stand by and mock them. I don't know about you, but when the Lord began to put this message upon my heart and began to put it down into my spirit, there have been a few times that I have been, amen, putting forth an effort to do something, and somebody come along and belittled it, and somebody come along and mocked, amen, my efforts, and somebody come along and made fun of the things that I was endeavoring to do. Amen. And you know what it made me feel like? It made me feel about that tall. Hello? Here comes their enemies. And what do they say? I want to deal this morning with five questions in verse number 2. Because the enemy uses the same tactics against us. The first thing that their enemy said was, "What do these feeble Jews?" What do these feeble Jews? What are they doing now? What do they think they're trying to do? What are they doing with their feeble self? They don't have the resources to do this. They don't have the finances to do this. Amen. How many of you know the enemy come by and sat down on Pastor's shoulder one time and say, "What are you trying to do? Build a church. You don't have the money to build a building. You don't have the, amen, you don't have the wherewithal." I'm here to tell you this morning, the enemy will come by and say, "What do you think you're doing?" Hello? What do these feeble Jews? They don't have the manpower. They don't have the skill. You're too feeble. You're too weak. You'll never be able to do it. Have you ever had the devil sit down on your shoulder and tell you you'll never be able to do it? You ain't got it in you, son. Hello? Well, I came to give the devil a black eye this morning and tell you that with you and God, all things are possible. I came to tell you this morning that when God is on your side, no weapon that's formed against you will be able to prosper. Amen, amen, amen. Devil comes by and says, "Oh, what do you feeble Jews think you're up to? Oh, you're going to build, oh, you're going to build a wall. I see. You're going to build a wall out of crummy rock. Because that rock that you're building with, it's just going to crumble right underneath your feet. It ain't going to be much to look at when you get done." Hello? Listen, the devil will come by and do the same thing to us. Devil will come by and tell you, after the way you've been living, now you're going to live for Jesus? Oh, after the mess you've made of your life, now you're going to get it all straightened out and have a little talk with the Lord, and you're going to get everything right, and you're going to be a good Christian? Hello? Amen. The enemy will come by and challenge us after the mess you've made. Now you're going to get it straightened out after how many times you messed up over the same thing. Amen. And you're going to get it together. Sure you are. You're going to make it happen, right? Amen. I just came to tell you this morning that the same tactic that the enemy used, what do these feeble Jews, is the same tactic that the devil will use when you have made up your mind that you're gonna serve the Lord and that you need to draw close to the Lord. The enemy will use the same tactic against you and I. He'll mock our efforts. Amen. But the enemy forgot one thing. The enemy forgot that God said with God, all things are possible. The enemy has forgotten, amen, that Isaiah 54:17 said, no weapon that's formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, God says, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Amen. The Bible tells us, amen, in John 4:4, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't allow the enemy to discourage your efforts. Keep on building on the wall. Amen. Keep on building on the wall. You may be weak and you may be feeble, but it is not in our strength. If we put our trust in the Lord, he will enable us. If we put our trust in the Lord, he will rebuild the wall of righteousness in our life. If we trust in the Lord, he will restore our heart and he will revive our soul. Amen. The first attack of the enemy is, what do these feeble Jews, what do you think you're doing? The task is way too big. You'll never do it. What do these feeble Jews? And then the second attack is there in verse number 2. He said, will they fortify themselves? Will they fortify themselves? Oh, now you're gonna build a city with a fortified, strengthened wall. You're going to strengthen yourself now. You've been in captivity for 7 years, and you're gonna strengthen yourself so that you can save yourself against the other attacks that are coming down the road. Devil does the same thing. Oh, so now you're gonna build yourself up. You're gonna start a morning devotional. Oh, now you're gonna start reading your Bible. Oh, you're going to build yourself up. You're going to become a strong Christian. What makes you think that you're going to become strong in the Lord? You ain't ever been anything but weak in the Lord, all of your relationship with God. What makes you think that you're going to strengthen yourself and fortify yourself, amen, to be able to handle the battles that are coming down the road? That's exactly what he does. Oh, so you're going to fast and pray. And maybe you ever started fasting and praying. And the devil come to you and go, well, you know, you ain't doing anything but making yourself hungry. Right? Hello? Go ahead and pray. Devil says, go ahead and pray. Ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't, go ahead and pray. Go ahead and read your Bible. Nothing going to happen. You really think you're going to be able to be an overcomer because you have strengthened yourself and you fortified yourself? Everything that you have ever built, the devil will tell you, everything that you have ever built, I've torn down. Look at you. Right? Devil will tell us sometimes, you got nerve thinking somehow, some way you're going to overcome this battle. Thinking somehow, some way you're going to overcome this secret sin that you got in your life. You got nerve to think you're going to fortify yourself now? You got nerve, the enemy says, I'm the one that yanked your chain the last time, and I'll be the one that yanks your chain the next time. I'm the one that made you fall then. I'm the one that'll make you fall now. You hear what I'm saying? That's the enemy's job. He stands to the side and does nothing but mocks our effort. Amen. Here they are building on the wall, and the enemy is trying to make them believe that their efforts are in vain. Beloved, I want to tell you now, right here in this place this morning, that God be with us. No enemy can stand against us. If God is on our side, then God will allow us to rebuild the walls that have crumbled in our life. Don't give place to the words of the enemy. Don't give place to the words of the adversary. Let him go right on talking, but you keep right on building and keep right on working for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude that we can build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says that it is not in our power, it is not in our might, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 10 and or chapter 6 and verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Amen. In other words, this battle, this building, it is not by our might. It's not by our power. It's not by our own fortitude, but it is by the Holy Spirit that will do the work through a willing vessel. The enemy comes to them, says, what do these feeble Jews? What do they think they're doing? What do these feeble Jews? What do they think that will they fortify themselves? And then he says the third question. He says, will they sacrifice? Will they sacrifice? Meaning, will they bring sacrifices to obtain God's miraculous assistance? Will they call upon the name of their God? Will they bring? They don't even have a sacrifice. They don't even have a sacrifice to offer. And it's true, they did not have anything to offer God but themselves. But themselves. Let me tell you, right here this morning, we don't have anything to offer God but us. Amen. And that's all he wants. He wants us and all of us. Can you say amen? They didn't have an offering to give to God, but they were willing to offer themselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord so that the work of God's kingdom could go forward. I came to tell you this morning, we may not have much to offer the Lord, but if we'll offer him everything that we are and everything that we got, he'll take what we got and he'll use it for his glory. Will they sacrifice? Will they obtain God's miraculous assistance? Now listen, this is just how clever the devil really is. The devil is saying to them, you're going to sacrifice? You mean you're going to sacrifice to the God that let you go into captivity for 70 years? Hello? What they were trying to do was make the people feel like God had let them down. That's what the enemy will do with us. He'll come along and tell you, well, you know, God let you down. God let you down. Well, no, let me just tell you something this morning. It wasn't God that let the children of Israel down. It was the children of Israel that let God down. And because of their sin and because of their obedience, God allowed them to go into captivity. Amen. But the enemy wanted them to blame God for the last 70 years. Well, I'm here to tell you the enemy will cause us to try to blame God for some of our own blooming failures. Hello? I know that may not be the right word, blooming, but you know. It's true. God, the enemy will come along and cause us to blame God for our own stupidity, for our own evil ways. It's not God's fault. Amen. Thank God that he's gracious and willing to receive us back. Thank God that he was gracious and allowed them to go back into their homeland. They had to deal with the rubble, but thank God he was gracious and allowed them to go back. And then listen to the fourth thing that the enemy questions. He said, will they make an end in a day? Will they make an end in a day? What is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to destroy their hope. He's trying to say, will they make an end to all of this in a day? After all of these years of captivity, you think you're going to fix this in one day? You think it's that simple? Okay. So you want to make your way back. You want to come back to the city of Jerusalem. You want to rebuild the walls. You don't have nothing to work with. You don't have any strength. You don't have any might. Okay, let's say you do it. You think you're going to do it in a day? What's he trying to do? He's trying to make them feel discouraged as if it's just too far down the road. We may be able to make it, but it's just too far. You think you're going to fix this overnight? You think the walls that have lain here in ruin for 70 years, and you're going to turn it around and fix it in a day? I'll tell you, the devil will do the same thing to us. You've been battling over finances for years. You think now you're going to get ahead? You've been struggling with the same old sin in your life for years. What makes you think that you're going to get the victory now? Hello? Will you make an end in a day? Have you ever had the enemy sit down on your shoulder and whisper, you can walk down the aisle this morning, have the preacher pray for you, but there ain't nothing going to change. Ain't nothing gonna change. Well, I came to tell you this morning, the devil is a liar. Amen. He'll sit on your shoulder and whisper, you are a slave. You have always been a slave. Amen. And you can pray and you can make up your mind that things are going to change. Amen. But let me tell you, just because you had a little talk with Jesus doesn't mean that everything's going to change overnight. I came to serve notice on the devil and let you know that God desires to bring change. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, change your situation. The enemy knows that hope deferred makes the heart sick. What does that mean? It's Proverbs 13 and 12. The enemy comes by and says, you think this is going to change in a day? You think this is going to change overnight? It's too much. It's too far down the road. Hope deferred, Proverbs 13 and 12 said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Because if we think we can never reach it, we can never attain it, we'll just give up on it. Hello? That's the enemy's objective. If he can make you think you'll never reach it, you'll never attain it, I could never have a blessed marriage like that marriage. I could never have finances, amen, to meet all of my household need. He'll make you think you can never have it. It's just too much. It's too far down the road. And pretty soon, hope deferred makes the heart sick, and you'll just give up on it. Hello? That's the enemy's objective. But let me tell you this morning, if we will draw nigh unto God, the Bible said that he will draw nigh unto us. Amen. It's not too far down the road. It's not too far down the road. All you have to do this morning is have a talk with the Lord. Surrender some things to God and let God begin to rebuild some walls in your life. Amen. And begin to fortify and begin to strengthen and begin to bring some things to pass in your heart and in your life. Hey, I came to tell you this morning, God desires to revive and restore and build up a wall against our adversary. I wish y'all were shouting with me like that little guy back there. He and I are having a time. Every time I elevate my voice and get up, he's like humping up in mama's lap, just shouting with me. The fifth question. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Will they be able to revive the stones out of the rubble? Sometimes we allow our relationship with Christ to just kind of get in a state of ruin and rubble. And the enemy wants to come along and point out all the reasons why we can never rebuild the wall. I come to tell you this morning, not only did they rebuild the wall, but the wall stood. And the wall served as a fortress. And the wall served, amen, as a place of refuge for a people that put their trust in God. This is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. Here's the correlation to us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. He says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In other words, Peter is comparing our life and our relationship with God as a spiritual building. And he said, each one of us are a lively stone. We are a living stone put in the right place. We build up a wall that becomes a fortress, stacked in the right order, placed in the right place. We become a building. We become a stone. We become a living building to offer up sacrifices of praise unto God by Jesus Christ. Don't allow the enemy to keep you as a lively stone from occupying your place in the wall. Hello? Don't allow the enemy to keep you as a lively stone or a living stone, amen, from occupying the place in the wall that God desires for you to occupy. Today, allow the Holy Spirit to revive the stones, revive us, revive and restore. Restore our relationship, restore our heart, restore our walk and our commitment unto Him. We used to sing a song when I was growing up in the church. We used to sing a song titled, I'm Building Up a Wall and I Won't Come Down. It's time for us as God's people to begin to build on the wall. Build on the wall. Become that living, lively stone that God can place us in a fortress or in a wall that we can occupy our place to make up a fortress and make up a place of refuge for the lost. This morning I ask, amen, if the enemy has stopped by and tried to discourage you from working on your relationship with Jesus, it's time to put the enemy in his place. It's time to put the enemy in his place. How did they build the wall? In troubled times. How did they build the wall? If you read in the book of Nehemiah, this is how they built the wall. Nehemiah said, look, guys, this is what we're facing. They're going to try to come against us. They're going to try to tear down what we're trying to build. Here's what we need to do. You keep a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. You keep a trowel in one hand or a shovel in one hand and keep a sword in the other hand. And we'll work and we'll watch. We'll work and we'll fight. We'll work and we'll stand against the enemy. We'll work and we'll fight against the work of the adversary, and we'll win by the power of God. Amen. Heads bowed this morning, eyes closed. Only you and God know the condition of your heart. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to stop building on your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the most important thing, not just in this life, but in the world to come. Don't allow the enemy to stop you from building on the wall, from being what God desires you to be. Heavenly Father, we are building up a wall. We are building up a wall of witness, a wall of safety, a wall of fortress, a wall of strength and might. We may be feeble and we may be few, but we are mighty in our God. For this work is not ours, this is your work. Our work is not our work. It is not our work. But this is your work, O God. And we have no sacrifice except ourselves. But this morning, Lord, we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. As a lively stone, making up the building to offer sacrifices of praise. As a lively stone, Lord, we come to you and we offer you our heart and our life, and we ask you to place us. The enemy may mock us. The enemy may mock our efforts. But, oh God, we will work with one hand and fight with the other. We will work with one hand and carry the sword of the Lord in the other hand. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus, bring restoration and bring reviving and bring wholeness to our heart and to our spirit in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you just to begin to pray. Mando rabahikatora babahashatoko. Mighty, mighty God. Mighty, mighty God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Oh, sweet, 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 sweet Lamb of God. How many of you here in this place this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I need God to bring revival into my spirit. God sees your hand and your hand and your hand and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. I need the Holy Spirit to just sweep across my heart this morning and bring a fresh anointing and a fresh oil and a fresh touch of the power of God into my heart and life. I don't want to leave here like I came. I need a reviving. I need a restoration. I want God to revive the stone. If that's you and you slipped up your hand, step out into the nearest aisle this morning. Step out and just come and stand right here in front of the house of God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on.